This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Big Time Rush, performing live in concert. Playing every song from every episode and more. Big Time Rush with special guests Caitlin Tarver and Stephen Kramer Glickman. Get tickets now at LiveNation.com.
Dan, good morning. How you doing?
I'm hanging in. How are you guys?
Doing well.
We are enjoying ourselves. We're having fun watching from a distance. And, you know, it would have been a great story in retrospect to just follow Ben Johnson, because
right.
He did every national website. Everything you can think of.
Every platform.
He was everywhere. But what was extraordinary, as we talked this morning, was that he didn't have, like, rehearsed answers. In other
right.
words, this isn't a professionally trained actor who can go into a soliloquy whenever requested. He was different in his answers, some little stories thrown in one place or some other kind of unexpected twist somewhere else. He is so good at just speaking extemporaneously and just answering a question, not the same way all the time. He's not this kind of man in rehearsal that you often see in the league.
Yeah, Molly, there's definitely an authenticity there that is going to be fun to get to know a little bit better as we get further along in the process of getting to know Ben Johnson. It was really interesting yesterday to watch both he and Ryan Poles ping pong around between all the extra media they did following their group sessions with the beat guys. And so part of my homework today is to find every single one of those and comb through those and find out where the nuggets are and the things that we want to continue developing on are. But there's a lot to learn about Ben Johnson in these next 6 months, and we're going to get an opportunity little by little to kind of fill our cup from that faucet.
From a personnel standpoint, from a roster building standpoint, what was the most significant thing that you heard yesterday from either guy?
Look, I think they're very aware of what they need up front on both sides of the ball. And I think that there is going to be aggression in these next, you know, couple weeks with free agency. And then obviously in the draft as well, to make sure that you don't take your eye off the ball with adding pieces up front on both sides of the ball that will help you get better. I think that there is a enthusiasm right now between Ryan and Ben, that they're on the same page, that their vision is pretty clear, and that will give them momentum as they go into these next phases. You guys know what's coming in 2 weeks when that negotiating window opens for free agency. And if they can go make a big splash with a guy like Trey Smith, keep an eye on Ryan Poles' face. Every time he's asked about Trey Smith, there's like a small grin, even though he won't answer the question. He gets a small grin that gives you a little bit of a tell that he feels like they've got a legitimate chance at making that happen. So we'll find out about that in a couple weeks. And if you're able to get out of the gates fast like that, I think everybody in Chicago will feel a little bit better about how the offseason starts.
Yeah. Dan, we've been talking about this idea. Everybody knows that they need help on the offensive line, but you got to ask yourself just how much you can get in one off season. In other words, can they replace? I mean, you can give guys competition, but can you replace more?
You can't.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was funny because Ben was asked that yesterday, and he said it's been done before, right? And then he specifically cited last year's Panthers as an example of a team that went out and made two big investments in their guard positions. It was at the time sort of looked at like, wow, the Panthers are going all in on guards, right? Like Robert Hunt, I think, got a $100 million contract. And then Damian Lewis was part of that mix as well. And Ben Johnson cited that as a group that, you know, by the middle of last season had provided stability to the offensive line that then helped Bryce Young sort of do what everyone is hoping Caleb Williams will do, which is just kind of rebound in year two. And so I think they feel like they've got the capital to go out and make significant upgrades to the offensive line. And then they feel like they can do so in both phases, both free agency and the draft, to get it done.
When you heard Ryan Poles talk about his role in overseeing all this, did you feel like that was something different from previous combines that you've heard from him? Was he different in terms of tone or approach? Because a lot of attention, most of the attention, understandably, on Ben Johnson, but
yeah,
this second version, kind of the reprieve era for Ryan Poles, is he any different now?
And David, I think the biggest difference yesterday was that the Bears showed up here in Indy as kind of a side attraction. They're not the center stage storyline here like they've been the last 2 years when they came here with the number one pick and quarterback decisions to make. That was like high profile stuff that, you know, sort of reverberated through the whole week of Combine Week. And here now it's kind of like, okay, Ben is the show. He's the new story. And then you've got to figure out a way to kind of set direction as a leadership group that's Ben and Ryan together. And so I didn't sense anything notably different. I did find it really interesting that it was like 11 minutes into our conversation with Ryan before we got to the quarterback. And I think, you know, like everybody has to be reminded that that is still the most important part of the 2025 puzzle, is what they can do to take Caleb to new heights. And so like that's going to be part of this process, not only in building the roster, but then in uniting with Caleb to tell him what he needs to get done on his side of things.
You know, one of the things he said, I think it was on the NFL radio, he said that when he put the coaching staff together, he made sure to get guys that had experiences different than his own. In other words,
right,
he wanted, I think he said, he wanted a little bit of what was going on in Kansas City, of mm-hmm. what was going on with Sean Payton. It was really an interesting answer, because I think it spoke a lot about his own confidence in what he's doing and his ability to try to learn even when things are succeeding
right
for him. I love that answer, and I love the way he talked about those different coaches. I'm very curious to see how it works.
No, I'm with you, Molly, because there's a really, really alluring combination of, as you described it, confidence and curiosity in Ben Johnson, you know. And so like he knows that he's really good at what he does, but he also knows he can get better. And by tapping into some of these various offensive trees, he can get some more insight to make his beautiful mind sort of tick a little bit faster. And you mentioned it, like Eric Bieniemy brings you some of that shotgun running game expertise that he can lend to the equation. Declan Doyle spent 5 of his 6 years under Sean Payton. You've got Press Taylor, who's done some things with Chip Kelly in his background. And so you put this meeting of the minds together in an offensive meeting room. And I think Ryan Poles described it yesterday as a group that's really juiced up about what they can accomplish. And so I think it's kind of fun to watch that puzzle be put together with Ben sort of understanding that, hey, look, like we can be really creative and really versatile and really create kind of a hybrid offense here that can play to the strengths of our players.
Well, he's trying to get better himself. He's curious. You're right. It's a mix of curiosity and confidence. He's meeting every morning. He called it the breakfast club with Harry Fried on his staff to kind of go through game situations that I don't know if you're a first-time head coach, he's got to be confident to acknowledge as much knowledge as you're seeking, as much things that you're trying to surround yourself with. If you don't have that inner confidence, you're not doing these things, you're not acknowledging them publicly.
Quiz me.
Yeah, right.
Right, and you've got to have energy reserves to do all these things as well, right? Like, there's a lot on the plate of a head coach, and it's even heavier for a first-time head coach who's never done it before. And so it'll be fascinating. You know, there's a long way to go before Ben Johnson has to coach a meaningful game, but there's a lot of heavy lifting between now and then. And I think, you know, when I talk to people around the league, I think that there's obviously genuine respect for how good he is as a chess player on offense and the things he can do to X and O his way into advantageous situations. And now the piece of the puzzle for head coaches is, how good are you with people? How good are you at managing people? How good are you at putting out fires? How good are you at kind of pivoting every day when pivots are called for? And so those are all things that will be tested with Ben in the months to come. They still haven't added a single player since he was hired. You know, there's a lot of things that go into this reboot, and we're just going to have to kind of be patient and watch him navigate each phase of this as we roll up toward week one.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You?
The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
He also talked about he and Dennis Allen having the same vision of what pass rush means, of what defense is, which is how it impacts the quarterback, and whether that is the pass rush or throwing receivers off routes. I thought that was a really interesting approach to it, because obviously the Bears need help in their pass rush, but, you know, and I don't know, is Tyrique Stevenson going to be good enough? Is he going to be coached up enough? They got a pretty good defensive backs coach in there, but they had a real good one there. I just wonder about what that meant when he talked about the corners and the defensive linemen kind of working together.
Yeah, well, if you start with the defensive line, I think that there has been some clues dropped here that, as you know, it obviously they want to add teeth to the pass rush, but that doesn't necessarily mean a complimentary edge rusher to Montez Sweat as much as they want to add somebody on the interior that can be one of those guys who consistently punctures the pocket. And so just kind of file that away as the Bears go into these phases of rebuilding the roster and understand that maybe that interior guy is going to be the big-time difference maker that then unlocks another level for Montez Sweat. And then you guys know forever, coaches talk all the time about rushing coverage, working together and figuring that out. A couple people that I've talked to this week that have history with Dennis Allen say that, like, he's really good at being pretty simple with his defense so guys can play freely, but then having the timing for knowing when to throw something in, a little wrinkle, a little edge that gives the defense an advantage. And so that's something, obviously, when they get on the grass in May that they'll start to work through. But I think there's a lot of confidence internally at House Hall that DA brings in, great background that will give him instant credibility with the guys in his room.
We're talking with Dan Weider, who, of course, does the Take the North podcast with Mark Grody, breaking down all the storylines from this week's NFL Combine. You can follow Take the North on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can download the Odyssey app or search 670 The Score and tap follow to receive alerts on all of the Score's coverage from the Bears offseason. All right, Dan, so you mentioned the need for help in the trenches on the defensive line. I'll ask you, just like we asked Biggsy during Biggs time, what about Jonathan Allen? He will be shopped. The Commanders have 1 year left and $15 million to pay him on his deal. He's 30 years old, but he is also a guy that is coming off an injury. If he can stay healthy, can make a difference. Do you think the Bears get involved? Should they at least inquire?
Yeah, I mean, you always inquire. You try to figure out what that looks like and what it would take to get it done. I would certainly have the difficult time giving up any sort of draft capital for a one-year rental. And so if you were to make a move like that, it would be with an eye on trying to, get an extension done. And then you got to figure out where that price tag is and how that affects other parts of your roster. I will say that the consensus around the league right now is that this draft is loaded up front defensively. And right. So that wouldn't be a move that I would be racing to do before the draft ended. You know, like I would see what I could get done in free agency. I would see what I could get done in the draft. And then if you still feel like you're, you know, limited on the defensive front, well, then maybe you consider it a little bit more seriously. But I think that there's several phases for the Bears to navigate first before that jumps to the top of their list.
It's interesting to me because I think when we think about the Bears and how they have to kind of cast a line and try to somehow reach out and create a pass rusher rather than just draft one. They've really struggled to be able to do that. That doesn't preclude, in fact, because of the depth at the defensive tackle position, I think that if they're sitting there at 10 and the tackles are gone, the offensive guys, they may need the pass rusher at that point because you got to strike quickly because the depth at that position isn't in there. In other words, you know, I think when you look at a draft, the depth of a position sometimes tells you go get the one you can't get.
Yeah, no, you're right. And so, like, look, like all the draft experts are really, really, really ecstatic about the depth of this draft. And with the Bears having four picks in the top 75, they can make a pretty good impact by the time day two is over in the draft. And so now you just kind of play your scenarios out on your draft board on who's going to be available for you at 10. And then remember, you got 2 second round picks and an early third. So, you know, you don't have to panic if you don't get exactly what you want on night one of the draft. You've got a lot of needs to fill. You can be right taking a lot of different positions there. I'm sure at some point in this pre-draft process, we'll have a day where we talk about Ashton Jeanty as a possible draft pick for the Bears at number 10. And that'll be a fun day to go through. And you'll just navigate all these cycles of this to try to figure out what makes sense. But, you know, Ryan described it yesterday as a giant puzzle. And right now, all the pieces are just kind of emptied out on the table and they've got to figure out how to put them together.
So not a high priority, but I do think the Bears should go into free agency with an eye on the safety market. There are some veteran safeties who might be affordable at a position that the Bears don't have a ton of certainty.
Didn't they both identify that as the toughest position to draft?
They both did during the maybe one of the interview sessions did. They both identified safety as a difficult position to evaluate. Dan, I wonder how much will they have an eye on that role because – you can't count on Jaquan Brisker, and you maybe don't know at this stage what you have in Kevin Byard.
Right. Well, and Elijah Hicks, who has shown, you know, some reliability in the flashes he's been in there. But, you know, you're trying to go from a team that wants to be more than just reliable and functional into one that can compete. So, I would imagine that they would eye up that market pretty seriously and try to figure out what makes sense for them. That you're going to need depth in your defensive backfield, and you're going to have to figure out how to do all that. I think, you know, the other kind of front burner issue from a contract standpoint is, do you want to get something done with Kyler Gordon soon? You know, I think that's a priority for the Bears, but what's the timeline of that? Do you want to like get that done before free agency starts and the market resets itself, or do you kind of wait and get done with all your other shopping and then say, okay, here's what we've got remaining to kind of invest in that regard? And so look, like you're going to need to improve a last place football team. That's the bottom line, you know, here. And, right. And so that those efforts start quickly, and they're going to have to be aggressive here really quickly.
What's the big story at the combine? Has one emerged? I mean, you know, we know about the idea that you got a player that is he a receiver? Is he a corner? Where is he more valuable? We know Abdul Carter is not able to work out. Maybe the first defensive player to go off the board's got a shoulder issue. What are people buzzing about?
Yeah, I mean, I think at the top of the draft, it's, you know, it's Travis Hunter. Then, you know, obviously you're always going to have the quarterback debate on is it Cam Ward? Is it Shadur Sanders? Who's stronger for which environments? What do you want to gamble on? Upside or
they're all right? Gamble.
Exactly. And Chicago knows that firsthand. Obviously, Abdul Carter is a big name that's going to go make a big splash somewhere. I think the sense with the draft this year is that it's not full of that like high end special talent at the top, but that you're going to be able to get long-term starter quality guys for a while, you know, from round one deep into round two and maybe into round three a little bit if you play your cards right. And so look, like that, you know, the draft will be here soon enough. And here's a little small story for you, Mully, is that at the top of the hour, the NFLPA will have a little meeting. They always issue those report cards before free agency starts on each team and how players rate their particular facilities and the amenities and everything that goes along with being a player for that organization. So we'll see how the Bears grade out this year and what kind of improvements they've made.
That's always interesting. So Dan, Brad alluded to this, and I've thought about it as well. Do you think there's any pressure Or do you think the Bears feel compelled to make a big splash this offseason with the idea in the back of their minds, perhaps, that they need to show that they're serious about winning, consistent with the commitment to Ben Johnson? And you know what? That stadium project, if we're going to convince people it's worth building a new stadium and getting the public money involved, we need to put a product out there that's worth watching.
I think their biggest splash was made with the hiring of Ben Johnson, to be quite honest with you. And I think their big splash and the thing that they're going to sell now is Ben Johnson and Caleb United, you know, and you've got a guy with a ton of talent at the quarterback position about to play for a guy whose offense scored like 70 touchdowns last season. And so that's the billboard for stadium efforts. The rest of this is about becoming a highly competitive football team that can do what they were supposed to do last year, which is climb the staircase in the NFL and become a team that is playing meaningful games in December, that's in playoff contention, that can potentially steal a wild card berth and get 9 or 10 wins. And it's like the target for 2025, sadly, is what it was in 2024. You're just trying to do what you couldn't do last year. And so all efforts will be made to push the team in a direction where they can win. They can win. It's time for this to be a football team that can win in 2025. And so that's where I think the aggression will come from.
I thought it was pretty funny that he told the story, I forget where he was, about Caleb buzzing his phone during the Super Bowl, that he kept getting messages from him, and he's there with his kids trying to watch the Super Bowl with the family, and next thing you know, they're going over every play.
You know, and this is going to be fun to watch. It's going to be interesting to see how they dial in on what needs to be dialed in on, because Ben Johnson in multiple forums over the last month has stressed how sort of basic the spring program at Halas Hall is going to be. It's going to be a focus on fundamentals, and it's going to be really for Caleb's purposes, it's going to be, you know, how do you handle the huddle? You know, how do you handle your cadence? How do you get knowledge of what motions and shifts and the nuances of those do to give an offense an advantage? And so it's going to be this, you know, really, really grindy stuff that Caleb's going to have to invest in to then unlock this world where then they can do the fun stuff where Ben Johnson's turning them loose on creative plays and using his off-schedule gifts to be who we think he can be.
They missed some steps last year. I don't know if you heard.
They skipped them, yeah. Dan.
It's startling to me, first, that they skipped it, second, that they so readily confess it, and third, that you know, there's really no repercussions for what happened in 2000.
How about four, Dan? The guy who responsible most for skipping those steps just got hired and complimented yesterday in Jacksonville.
by the way, I mean, like, I know this is kind of a thing on the social medias right now, but how about James Gladstone, right? Like, that dude, when I saw that the Jaguars put out a picture of him when they were interviewing him, I thought I like had a triple check to make sure it wasn't a joke, because it looked like
senior
one of the guys
prom
that runs around the combine here that goes and asks everybody fantasy football questions. And you're like, wait a second, that's the GM of the Jaguars.
He looked like he was trying to get the courage up to ask a girl to prom.
It's crazy, but obviously bright kid, and you know, that'll be fascinating to watch from afar as well.
Great stuff.
Great stuff, Dan. Thank you.
All right, guys. Talk soon.
That is Dan Weiderer. That is so true. Did you see that photo? I mean,
I did.
I would be bummed if I were Ian Cunningham. Like, really?
You got to be really disappointed. You wonder how he fits in coming back.
Yeah.
All right, right now, Mully, our listeners can be the sixth caller to the Scores Contest line, 312-540-0670. They can win a pair of tickets to be a part of our studio audience.
This is it.
Cubs Dodgers. Yep. They're going to be in Tokyo starting at 5 a.m. on March 18th. We're going to be here. But they're going to have a party at the Blue Cross Blue Shield performance stage, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. Through it all, come be part of our special broadcast at the conclusion of the Cubs game and Cubs post game. We are going to be the post game show. 312-540-0670.
Mully and Haw on the Score.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 864-SEASONS. If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omacid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.